this morning is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May the Lord bless the reading of today's scripture.
Thank you, Arlie. Bradford Robinson tells a story about a minister in Texas who was very creative in his visual aids during the sermon. One Sunday he brought into the stage a beautiful Irish setter that belonged to his youth minister. Youth minister loved this dog so much that when the dog had become sick and had to stay overnight in the kennel, he stayed there and slept with the dog all night. And this dog, of course, returned that love to his master. The senior minister brought the dog on the stage and he rolled a ball across the platform and said, "Fetch, Josh, fetch." But the dog just sat still. The minister then asked one of his friends, a large, muscular bodybuilder, to come up to the platform, and this huge muscle man, in a very rough tone of voice, says, "Fetch, dog, fetch." But the dog would not fetch the ball for the power. Then a banker came to the platform and took out his wallet, and he waved money before the dog and said, "Josh, if you get this ball, I will reward you greatly." But the dog would not fetch for money. Then the preacher said, "Let's try some peer pressure." So he had all the people in the congregation stand up and in unison said, "Fetch, Josh, fetch the ball." But the dog would not yield to the peer pressure. The pastor then had a beautiful young woman that had auburn hair about the same color as Irish setter. And she came up to the platform and she patted the dog on the head in a very sultry voice said, "Josh, get the ball, Josh, for me." The pastor said that the dog did twitch just a little bit. Finally, he called the youth minister forward. The young man who owned the dog, youth minister said, "Josh, go get the ball." And immediately Josh flew from the platform and ran, got the ball, and brought it back and dropped it at his master's feet. And after everybody had settled down, the preacher began his sermon by saying, "Now let me ask you, who are you fetching for?" Pretty good question, I think. Who are you fetching for? Who's your master? Is it Jesus, or is it someone else, or is it the things of the world? Today is Palm Sunday, and we are haunted by those ambiguous feelings which have to do with triumph and tragedy, victory and defeat, honor and dishonor. Today is Palm Sunday, and we remember, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Today is Palm Sunday, and there's a crowd of people out there lining the streets to welcome this Jesus into Jerusalem to be the King of the Jews. Today is Palm Sunday, and he comes riding in on a young donkey like the old kings of Israel centuries before had entered into the holy city. Today is Palm Sunday, and some little boy who lives out in the country is the first one come running barefoot into town to tell the news. The king is coming. Jesus is coming down the road to Jerusalem. Today is Palm Sunday, and the king is coming. The king is coming, and no one can remain neutral. The king is coming, and you must decide, will Jesus be your master? You must make up your mind. The king is coming, and we can no longer remain the same. Something's got to give. Something has to change in the way that we think about life. Something has to be different about our loyalties. Something has to be renewed about our commitment to the King of Kings. Something has to be chosen above all those things vying for our attention, and Palm Sunday will not let us rest. It confronts us with a choice. Well, the king is coming to our city. He's coming into our place and into our time. So on this Palm Sunday, 2015, I want to remind you of what is before us today and to ask you, whose voice are you listening to? If we want to be bystanders in the parade, watchers, palm-waving, flag-waving Christians who go home afterwards and just kind of forget about it, then we can do that. If we want to come to church and drop a $10 or $20 bill in, pay our dues, have a good feeling about the worship service, be at ease, and then we can just tell all those around us and the rest of the world, you can just go to hell because I have my salvation. But let me warn you, if you're serious about this Jesus stuff, if you want to be a participant in the kingdom of God, then you'd better watch out. You'd better get ready. You'd better see the King of Kings coming. The king forces us into desperate decisions. No one can remain neutral about Jesus. You can't. You have to decide. To be neutral about Jesus is to be a quasi-Christian. For many Christians today, it's just church membership. It's like being in a country club and they don't go any further. They would rather be lukewarm. They would rather be warm-hearted. They would rather be contented than committed. They would rather save money than save the world. They would rather attend a Sunday brunch than to attend a gospel feast. On that first palm-waving day, Jerusalem was full of them. These people who live their lives in neutral gear, but we cannot live our lives in a neutral gear. No one living in neutral ever moved forward or climbed a hill or had a dream or caught a vision. There comes a time for every person that they have to make that decision. A boy named Gene Donaldson grew up in a little town in Texas, and he was an outstanding football player. But he was having trouble deciding what college to attend, as many young people do. He was about ready to go to Notre Dame. Of the many football coaches who wanted him, only one coach went to the trouble of finding out his religious affiliation, which was Catholic. That coach was Bear Bryant. He sent one of his assistants to see him and told him, I want you to dress like a priest. Black suit, white collar, big cross hanging down. And Bear Bryant said, I want you to tell him this. The Pope wants you to go to Kentucky to play football. That's before he was at Alabama. And Gene Donaldson did go to Kentucky and became one of Bear Bryant's first All-Americans. He made a decision, even if he was kind of tricked into it a little bit. Palm Sunday is a reminder that Jesus confronted Jerusalem with a decision. And Palm Sunday means that Jesus confronts us with that same decision today. It has not changed in 2,000 years. Some of us have a hard time deciding which crowd we want to be in. Large crowd of the bystanders who watched the parade, or the small crowd of participants who marched with Jesus. Someone has asked the great Methodist evangelist, Sam Jones, why he came down so hard on the Methodists, and why didn't he go after the Baptists also? He was a Methodist preacher, and he said, well, when I get through with the Methodists, it's bedtime. Will Rogers once said, everyone wants to go to Rome to see where St. Peter is buried, but no one wants to live like him. Many people would like to go to the Holy Land to see where Jesus lived, but so many people will not let Jesus live in their hearts every day. Almost every person in this country, or I forget the statistics, 80, 85, maybe 90%, have a belief in God. But how many people really put God first in their lives have really made a decision to follow Jesus? Palm Sunday means Jesus confronts us with a choice, and it is a desperate choice because your whole life and eternity depends upon it. The King requires our dedicated devotion. If we make the decision for Jesus, then we're giving him our devotion. That is what it takes to be a Christian in today's world. That's the way it was from the very beginning. Those 12 disciples were there with him. Jesus did not face Jerusalem alone. They were with him not as tag-alongs, but as his true disciples, but as his loyal followers, willing to face Jerusalem with him. It's true that they did not understand all that was going on. It's true that they fell to the side when things got really rough and they got scared under the stress of Holy Week and all that they witnessed. But they would sleep. They would deny. They would betray, hide, and lose their faith. But they were there and they were devoted to Jesus. They dedicated their lives to him. That's what Palm Sunday requires of us. It is as difficult to be a Christian today as it ever has been. More difficult in some parts of the world. You can actually lose your life just for being a Christian. The followers of Jesus have always been a minority, and there are so many things today which compete for our attention. We're bombarded day after day with the idea that we can be happy, satisfied, forever young, and beautiful. And that we can have well-adjusted children. And that we never have to have heartburn, or indigestion, or acne, or gray hair, or headaches, or even ring around the collar. If we'll just send our money to the right evangelist, everything will be good. But that's a lie. We're told that our status, our value, our reputation, our worth is found in the house that we live in, the kinds of food that we eat, what we wear, the automobile that we drive, and where we travel for vacations. But that too is a lie. I think I read a New Testament about a man who filled up his barns and then tore them down to build larger barns to fill them up again. And he says, I have it made. And what did Jesus call this man? A fool. Jesus offers us the only alternative to the philosophy of society gone mad over amassing things, having to have more and more and more. And that is a new center for our existence, which puts Christ and the kingdom of God above everything else and not the things of the world. Because these are fleeting. These will be gone from your life one day. Jesus offered Jerusalem that choice on that palm-waving day. And the choice is in front of us today. We can choose to be dedicated disciples who devote all we are to Christ and his kingdom. And that's really the only choice to make. This king offers a dangerous destiny. If we make a decision for Jesus and give him our dedicated devotion, then we are headed for trouble. It does not solve all of our problems. When I first became a Christian, I thought it would. I just become a Christian and just believe everything will be good. Doesn't work that way. It actually can create more problems for you. It does not make life easy. It makes some things more difficult, and it does not make things simple. It makes some things even more complicated in your life. It does not bring rewards and riches, at least for the majority. It could cost us everything. It does not assure of us anything miraculous will happen in our lives, although it may. It leads us to struggle with the mundane. So it can be dangerous in a way, to be a Christian. Jesus had spelled out what it means, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. He had been telling the disciples all along that he was going to Jerusalem and what he would face, and he would actually face death. And there would be a cross also for them if they decided to go all the way with him. And as they got closer to Jerusalem, James and John came to him and asked for places of honor on his right and on his left in the kingdom of God. But he assured them that they would have a place, but it would not be what they thought. They would have to drink from the same cup from which he would drink. The destiny of the disciples was to be a dangerous one, a deadly one, for all but one. As Christians today, everything is not sweetness and light. I wish I could say that it were. If we serve this King, we must be willing to give of ourselves and take a chance and never really count the cost. God is calling us to be his witnesses in today's world because there's no private Christianity. You just can't hold on to it and keep it for yourself. He's calling us to be servants, for there's no sideline Christianity. We're all in the game. He is calling us to be his church, for there is no uninvolved Christianity. A missionary, home on leave, was to spend several months speaking in different churches as he traveled around. In order to get the people to understand where he was serving, he decided to purchase a globe of the world. And he went to a store and he looked at several. The clerk showed him one that had a light on the inside of the globe of the world. And he said, but this lighted globe will cost you more. And the missionary said, I know that it will. Yes, it does. A lighted world costs everything. When the Salvation Army first went to India, the British authorities were concerned about them and issued an order that there would be no meetings, no parades. They didn't know what might happen. But Commissioner Tucker of the Salvation Army decided that that order must be defied. One day the Salvation Army came marching down the street, and they were met by the soldiers. The officer in charge said, "In the name of Her Majesty, the Queen of England, I order you to disperse." But Tucker replied, "In the name of the King of Kings, I order you to stand aside." The army stood aside. One palm-waving day, Jesus marched right into Jerusalem, the holy city, and said to everyone and everything that is unholy, "Stand aside." And he's calling us to join him in this parade to say to every form of hatred, every form of bigotry and ignorance and apathy, stand aside. And when we dare do these things, they will stand aside. His kingdom will live in us, and we will spread his rule to his world, and the kingdom of God will be upon us. So I ask you, will you dare to do it? Will you come join not just the parade, but the true followers of Jesus? Will you let Jesus be your king? Will you listen to the voice of our Lord and Savior? I hope your answer will be yes. May God bless you. Amen.